Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to say good afternoon to each and every one of you. This is Michael Peavy, the ministering evangelist of the Golgotha Church of Christ. You have reached the Golgotha Church of Christ Blog Talk Radio show entitled Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. And we're just having a great time. I hope God has blessed you today. I know he has because he woke you this morning. But I hope that you experience and you're feeling God's blessings and you know how great God is. What God does for you is for you. Even though he blesses everyone, he has special benefits, special prayers, special sanctions, special compassions, special issues, just specialties for you. And so for us to understand how special we are in the eyesight of God, how blessed we are in the eyesight of God, is something that we really need to take into consideration. There's a few things I would like to talk about today. We are going to be dealing from the subject where we're in part four of Abraham, from Abram to Abram. Abram to Abraham, part four. But I want to start out by just talking about a few things which will tie into this lesson. We serve a God that likes us to be committed and likes us to be true. We serve a God that expects faith to permeate throughout our lives. And many times, in trying to do good and trying to be a good person, we find ourselves accepting things that we should not accept. Now, to a good community of friends of mine, people that I've worked with for many years, almost 20, 30 years in Chicago as a musician. And then when you come to Chicago, you know you have to play blues. When I left Mississippi, they put a pickup on it and brought it up north, Muddy Waters in the game. And so Chicago is known for its electric blues. But being a saxophone player, I've been able to in and out and play with a lot of different groups. And right now, as I continue to say, within the last 2 years, and specifically here within the last 6 months, we are experiencing chapters of history that are closing. Once again, we are experiencing chapters of history that are closing. And something that kind of bothers me and is somewhat melancholy in my soul and my spirit is based on the fact that we always want to say things that will be somewhat partial to those that listen. We always want to talk about things or want to lift up spirits or maybe even sugarcoat things to a point so we just kind of make people feel good. Rather than just say, you know, my condolences and this, that, or another, we want to place person in a destination that we don't even find in the Bible. Well, let me say this to you. In order for you to get to heaven, you need to go through the gate. The gate is Jesus. Now, there's only two destinations. It's heaven, or it will be Gehenna, hell, for Tarsus, right? And so there will not be a place. There is no elevated level. There is no different degrees. There is no sports heaven. There is no entertainment heaven. There is no blues heaven. There is no movie heaven. There is no bike riding heaven, right? There is no song leading heaven. Right, we have to make sure that what we're going to and how we live our life will pertain to where our destination will be. And I want to say this. I want to make it crystal clear. Make sure that the life that you live and what you have made a decision, whether you're going to God's heaven or by default to hell, or when you make a decision as to which direction that you're going to go, that is going to be the decision you're going to follow through on, and you're going to live your life of joy in that area. So if you choose not to go to heaven and you want to just live a cat raggedy life down here and just have a great time, live it up, because the destiny of payment will be on the other end if it's not right away. depending on how you deal with others and how God sanctions it from a sovereign God. However, if you choose to go to heaven, it's going to be a sad, sad day for you to live your life with one foot on a banana peel and the other foot on an oil slick. You will do the splits, and you will not be able to get back up. So what the problem is that we cannot profess to go to these fake false jazz heavens or these blues heavens or these sports heavens. Think about it. My team was the Golden State Warriors. Love them very much. Great entertainers, great sports figures, great athletes. They won again 3 out of 4 years. They won the NBA playoff championships, and I've been glued to the television, loving it every minute. But if that was the pinnacle of where it was going to be, and there was no more, then once they won their trophy, once they got their MVP award, that would be the gateway into whatever it is. I want to tell you, I want to make it clear, crystal clear today, there is a life after death. There is something above, a level above this, and there is a life after this. And we need to understand that if you are going to go to God, going to be with God, God needs to know you. It would be a shame to just be a good guy, but not be obedient to God's call. And then on the day of judgment, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it will be a very sad day for you to say, Lord, Lord, I've done all this wonderful stuff in your name. And you give me the ability to do this and to sanction this and sanction this. And I've been busy doing this, 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 and another. And it'd be sad to hear Jesus say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's only going to be two statements made. Depart from me, and the rhetoric to go along with that, or well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been you have been a steward over a few things, and now enter in, and I will make you a minister of many. Hold on 1 second here. Hello, Joe? I'm on right now, yes.
I'm calling in. I'm just
too. You're calling in to 619-924-0767.
Let me just double check that. I put it on the check, so let me just double check what I put in to make sure. Any church I'm talking with, sir, I got the right number.
619-924-0767. You can dial that right now. All right, goodbye. Apologize for that. People trying to reach, can't get through it. I don't know why that is, but we're trying to get it together. But yes, we need to make sure that we understand that the only heaven that exists is God's heaven. And so that we must make sure that we're not putting people in false placements. And because in the end, the only thing that's going to save them is the truth. Remember, the Bible is clear that the truth will make us free or will set you free. And the only thing that's going to keep you elevated from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So that's just been on my heart because we've had so many deaths here recently, and a lot of the blues community, a lot of the jazz community, and friends of mine are just mourning, and our hearts are just touched with the lives and the memories that go on. But it's one thing if a person does not know, but it's my job as a love agent and as a child of God to make sure that I put it out there so that you do know not only where I stand, where I believe the Bible stands, so that you can make an intelligent decision for yourself. No one can choose for you. You must choose for you this day whom you will serve. So I thank you for that. That little time fragment there. Now, we're in the book of Genesis, and we've been talking about Abram. And again, this is part 4 of Abram to Abraham. Yesterday, we were dealing with chapters 14 and 15. Today, we're going to pick up in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to take a look at a situation that takes place that should not have taken place. Let me say that again. A situation that takes place that should not have taken place. If we are God's children, we understand our role as God's children, then we must do things God's way. And when things come somewhat sideways, we need to have better discernment and not get caught up in our flesh in order to do things the way God would have them to be done, so that God will sanction them, God will bless them, and God will be pleased with them. Amen, somebody. So let us go to the text of Genesis chapter 16. We're going to start at verse number 1. The Bible says, Abram's wife Sarai had not borne any children for him. Turn this phone off so it doesn't ring. There we go. Abram's wife Sarai had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Now, your text may say handmaid. Your text may say midwife. But she, Sarai, owned or had as a servant an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Now, where did Hagar come from? Well, it just told us. From Egypt. When Abram and Sarai were in Egypt, they were blessed by Pharaoh with handmaids and servants and cattle and all kinds of things, jewelry and et cetera, valuables. So when it was discovered that Sarah was Abram's wife, because God had to step in, because God's man wouldn't step up, and so he let them have everything they had. But the punishment was that now you take all your bloated situation and you get out of here. You can't stay here. You're being exiled from Egypt like they were put out of the Garden of Eden. And now you take everything of your possessions and you go back to an area that cannot support you. But now you have more, far more than what you had when you came down. And so that's why there is a discussion, or that's why there are some confusion between the two herdsmen, Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. And Abram took 318 men plus those in community with him, and they went up and got nephew Lot back out of trouble, as we many times our elder statesmen, our uncles, our surrogate fathers, all those grandpas and then have to do for us when we get in trouble. They get us out of the jam, and they bring him back, and Lot ends up going back to Sodom, where the problem began in the beginning. But Abram ends up giving tithes, a tenth of all he has, to Melchizedek. And we talked about Melchizedek yesterday and the blessing that comes from giving, because you cannot beat God's giving. And so what I want you to understand is, as we're looking at Genesis chapter 16, for those that have just got on, again, Abram's wife, Sarai, was not fertile. She was barren. The Bible says she had not borne any children for Abram, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Now, this sets it up as to what's going to take place. And I want you to really take a look at this, because in today's society, we find ourselves, or we have found people that get themselves in trouble by doing the same thing. If you do it what God wants, the way God wants it to be done, then you will be free from issues that will not please God, because the Holy Spirit will not lead you into a direction that will not please God. However, when you choose to leave the Spirit and do on your own what you want to do, what your flesh wants you to do, you're going to end up needing a headache and maybe a whole bottle of Excedrin or Tylenol, extra strength, to deal with this headache. Let's take a look at the text. Verse 2, 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Sarai, said to Abram, since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Notice, in order for you to even have a child, it must be sanctioned by God for you to be able to have it. So you need to understand, no matter how it comes into play, God has said the child will be blessed, although it may be conceived in sin. It don't have to be conceived in sin. It can be conceived, you know, in the marriage where God would have for it to be done, and God will bless the entire thing. But many times when you decide to sow on earth, off of the rolling stone, you've got female pimps now and male pimps and all of these things going on. And here you have an issue because you have here's God's people not acting the way God would have them to act. Sarah, the wife of Abram, has already been told that they're going to be blessed, that they're going to have offspring and going to be blessed. Going to be able to, and his offspring is going to be as the number, as you can count the destiny, you will be able to count the offspring. But Sarah says back and says, man, there's a problem. I physically can't have it because God has had me barren. God has prevented me from bearing children. Well, just because God may say no now, don't mean God's not going to say yes later. Timing is important, and he has to get you ready for the blessing that he's going to send your way. Many times, we don't have the patience to wait on the Lord. Let me say that again. To those in radio land, those on Blog Talk Radio land, those that are calling in, we don't have the patience to wait on the Lord. So when we take matters into our own hands, we end up making a mess or a mockery of the situation. Let's take a look at this thing. Let's see what happens. Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave, which is Hagar, right, my handmaid. Perhaps through her, I can build a family. Now, there is something in the Jewish community, or the Hebrew community, that's called surrogate motherhood. And I'll talk about that in a minute. I hope it does not gross anyone out, but I want you to understand the facts or understand the procedures that take place in surrogate a childbirth. Here we go. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. They have not talked to God about this. They're not building an altar and talking to God about this situation so God can tell them, no, that's not what I have planned. But because of the magnitude and because of maybe the pressures they've been dealing with, here's God's man agreeing to sleep with another woman, as they did in Egypt, but not as sanctioned by God. And it's interesting how he plays this in somewhat of a pimp-like fashion, because he literally tells his wife Sarai, that he'd be willing to do this as long as this is what she wants. Can't you see that Abram sitting there, waving his hands through his hands, and he gets an opportunity to have extramarital sex, to commit fornication. But then later a little bit, because Hagar, even though she may be the property, and even though the custom may be for slavery to take place that way, and it's all right, even kings were able to choose whoever they wanted to, in their kingdom, it was not sanctioned by God. So I want us to understand that there are some social norms that are acceptable in society. But the child of God lives above society because they live under the umbrella of God's commands. Faith is trusting God and giving yourself totally to God so that God will be pleased with everything you do. What we think, what we say, how we act, and how we plan. Here under the patriarchal dispensation, where there has been no physical laws written on stone, but it's crystal clear because God has spoken to Abram himself in the calls that he has given him, that he knows that Sarai is his wife and that his lineage will come through the wife that God has given him. God never gave Abram Hagar. Sarai, in her emotional state of not being able to bear children right away, as the biological clock is ticking, she decides on her own, not with God, I must help the situation out, and so I will allow Abram to ride my handmaid. But there's going to be a problem with that in a minute. Abram, God's man, should have said no. We must follow God's protocol. But we see here, as many times we've seen in our lives, or we've seen in the lives of others, that you can incarcerate yourself mentally. You can cause yourself major grief mentally by making a bad decision. And Abram agreed to the plan Sarai said, sleep with Hagar. Verse number 3, so Abram's wife took Sarah, so Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife for him. Let that marinate. Sarai took her handmaid. Sleep with my husband. This is your command. Sleep with my husband. For I want to have a child through you. The Bible says this happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan for 10 years. So 10 years has passed. God has gotten them out of the Egyptian jam, but they still have some jelly on them. Amen, somebody. What you see here is that you see that God is going to have to make a decision about the situation. And anytime God makes a decision about the situation, it's going to cause a tear in the situation. But let's keep going. Let's see what happens. The Bible tells us that in verse 4, Abram slept with Hagar, as Sarai commanded him, and she became pregnant. Uh-oh. Time to get Mako. This ain't Mako. This is reality. When you ignite nature, nature will set a fire on you. When you ignite nature, nature will set a fire on you. She became pregnant, which was the intent of sleeping with Hagar. But what we forget is in pregnancy, there is an emotional tie in motherhood between the mother and the child that's being formed in her body, the transformation, the miraculous movement God is creating in the body, that after the 9-month period, a life form comes into this world and you were the conduit type for it. Sarah, in all her black and white planning, did not plan on the fact that Hagar will have an emotional tie to this child. Let's go back again. So Abram's wife, Sarai, took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife to him. Now he's going to have two wives. One is not enough. Two is going to be more than enough. This happened after Abram lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. When she realized that she was pregnant, she treated her mistress with contempt. Now, many times we read this, and we look at this as if this is a one-night stand. But the Bible says that Sarai took Hagar and gave her to Abram. We don't know how many times Abram slept with Hagar. We don't know what kind of pillow talk was being made. We don't know any of that information. We just believe it was a one-time shot. And there's no problem from there in. But the purpose was to conceive and to continue to have intercourse until conception takes place. God sanctioned the birth, the pregnancy of Hagar by Abram. Even though that was not going to be the promised child. I don't want to get rid of myself. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan for 10 years. He slept with Hagar and she became pregnant. And when she realized that she was pregnant, when she realized that she missed her cycle, when she realized that she was having some morning or afternoon sickness, maybe she was throwing up. She was having the signals and having the emotional transformation that goes on in a mother when they're pregnant. And when she realized that she was pregnant, she treated her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Treated her with contempt. Why are you treating her bad? Why are you treating her with contempt? First and foremost, I want to look at this from Sarai's side. Sarai knows she's supposed to be the mother of an offspring, and I guess she decides she is going to help God out. God never asked for her help. And he never asked us for help, based on the fact that he can do it all by himself. However, now she's pregnant. She's treating Sarai as a jealous woman would. And maybe even treating her so much that she's not going to feel that she's less than a woman, because she can't have or has not been permitted to have children by Abram. They are having intercourse. They are consummating. But yet she has been prevented from childbearing at this stage of the game. And so with disdain, with despisement, with willful disobedience and open disrespect, we see that a glare in her eye We see a smirk on our face. We see unworthiness and scorn, inferiority. We see a person that's really being treated badly and treated less than a woman. A feeling of being regarded as unworthy is not good. Feeling despised, glared at, is not good. Feeling worthless, distasteful, negligible, is not good. Maybe even feeling weak at this stage of the game, because you made a decision, and now you're dealing with the consequence of the decision that you made. Now, I don't want to let Sarah off the rip. Sarah, you a woman. You know how women are going to act. You didn't know that you were going to be looked at as detestable, looked at with loathing and hatred, with less love, with a cattiness, a state of malice. You didn't know that this was going to be somewhat repugnant and revulsive. You had no idea that her whole mentality would change toward you. Are you really that naive that you feel that you are that you have been abused by your handmaid verbally and maybe non-verbally? And so it causes you to feel some kind of way. You ever seen that situation when a man rubbed his hands together because he was getting ready to do something, because the wife either didn't know, but here now the wife knows, she's part of it, she's the one that concocted it, and rather than him say, no, we're going to take a strong and we're going to wait on the Lord, now let's get this done. He's thinking he can get some free open sex. But he doesn't understand the pain that's going to come to him. He slept with Hagar. She became pregnant. And when she realized that she was pregnant, she treated her mistress with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, feeling like Cain felt after he had killed Abel, that the pain was too much. She was in an unbearable situation. Here goes Sarai to Abel. And she says, you are responsible, Abel, for my suffering. You are responsible, Abram, for my suffering. You're going to blame Abram for being fertile, but you're going through your consequence. No, God's trying to teach you a lesson that he didn't ask you to do this, and until you get the movement from God, you don't make that move. Matter of fact, you're in subjection to your husband, so he should have told you no, but he did not. He succumbed to your plan, although it was not entrusted or sanctioned by God. You ignited nature, and nature burnt you. You are responsible, Abram, for my suffering. I put my slave, my handmaid, my midwife in your arms. And ever since she saw that she was pregnant, she has treated me with contempt. She's been mistreating me. May the Lord judge between me and you, Abel. Listen to Abram's response. Abram replied to Sarai in verse 6, "Here your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you want with her." Now, he doesn't know everything he ought to do. But now, rather than have some real feelings, he's still going to be committed to his wife, which he should be. But he's part of the problem. So now let's just get rid of the problem and let's excommunicate the situation. That's your slave. You handle the problem. Notice what happens. Well, Sarai recognizes that she has the power to deal with the situation. Now, powerless Sarai becomes courageous. The Bible says, then Sarai mistreated her, Hagar, so much that she ran away from her. You ever seen somebody curl up so bad that they won't stay in your presence? She ran away from her, pregnant, got a belly full. Sarah has been mistreated. Now she wished the child never was conceived. She wished she had never sanctioned this. So now she comes down and she mistreats back. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But her mistreatment, Hagar has no request because this is her handmaid. She's a handmaid and this is her master. So now she just runs away. Pregnant. Where are you going to run if your pregnancy ain't going to run with you? Where are you going to run? Because you really are the innocent bystander in this whole situation. Hagar never asked to sleep with Abram. Hagar never asked Sarai to do this. She was doing as she was commanded, as has been commanded in the law, and as she has seen customarily in Egypt. Let's look at this thing. Because it ain't over yet. I want you to know something. That even though you may feel or you may actually have been abused, mistreated, heartbroken, scorned, God sees you and God knows what you are going through. In spite of your mistreatment, your blessing is being able to conceive. Look at verse number 7. The angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness. Remember the wilderness, the land of Nod? Just out there where there is no formulation. You're subjected to animals, you're subjected to all kinds of unprotected situations. But the angel of the Lord, God sees you, found you by the spring of water in the wilderness. And whether he knew where you was at in the first place, he just came to you so you know that he was there. When you felt lonely and all alone, you felt mistreated, abused and mistreated, you needed to know God was in your presence. And sometimes it's in that very experience. And sometimes it's when you're at your lowest ebb, when you feel incarcerated, and you don't have to have iron bars in front of you, life happens. Now you have a situation mentally that you have incarcerated your mind, incarcerated your situation. You're under more stress and you're pregnant, your body's going through stuff. You run away from where you can be provided for, where you will be able to receive food and rest and health. You leave the situation. I'm out of here. Because you're caught up in emotion and you're pregnant. Now you're in the wilderness with no backing to help you with this baby. But God sees you. The angel of the Lord found you. by the spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, hey, God knows you by name, slave of Sarah. He reminds you that although you're pregnant, you still are employed by Sarai. Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? It's not that God does not know where she came from. He watched her the whole way. God's all omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's there at the same time. He protected her all the way into the wilderness and where she's at now, and has dispatched an angel of the Lord, which is the type of Christ to comfort her in a time of need. And he says, not only that you ran from home, you ain't walk, not being a good soldier, but where you think you're going? You have nothing. Your provisions is wrapped up in your slavery. Where are you going? She replied to the angel of the Lord, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. Gotta go. Running away from my mistress, Sarai. Sarah has mistreated me so bad that I can't stay there. There is no compromise. There is no rationalization. The result is I got to get up out of here. It's too much for me to bear. Well, did you not speak up before all this went down, knowing that you would have to deal with a pregnancy, because the purpose for it was for you to have a baby? What you didn't know is that Sarai was going to treat you this way, but Sarai didn't know you were going to treat her that way. So now, what goes around comes around. What you sow, you shall also reap. You've been treating her with contempt. She has now the upper hand, and she has got back at you. And you've shown that you're the weaker vessel because you're full of emotion. But I want you to know you're still the slave. You're still the handmaid. You're still the helper. You're still the midwife of Sarah. Notice what God says to her. Where you come from, where you going? She says, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment. That takes a person of faith to go back to a mistreated situation when God has told them, go back. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they too will be too many to count. So you realize this is not the only child you're going to have. You're going to have children, 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 children. I will multiply them greatly, God says. That'll be the sign that I'm with you, that you will continue to receive. And it'll be too many for you to count. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and will have a son. Now she finds out she's having a boy child. She's having a man child. She didn't know, she just knew she was pregnant. They didn't have MRIs and what are those things where they put the gel on them and sonograms. They didn't have all that back then. X-ray vision. But God's X-ray vision still works. What you have inside of you is a boy. And what I want you to do, you will name his name Ishmael. For the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. You've been heard, Hagar. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with all his brothers. So she called the Lord, who spoke to her, the God who sees. Hagar was up under Egyptian godhood, was visited by the angel of the Lord, which is the type of Christ, and knew that it was God that had called her for this mission. And so she knows him, the God who sees. So in Egypt, they worshiped a lot of gods, and they were dead gods. But now she's talking to the angel of the Lord, and she recognizes that God has seen her condition because she's ran away, found her. She wasn't lost, only lost in her own mind. God knew where she was at. And she said, the God who sees. And in this place, I have actually seen the one who sees me. I want you guys to really meditate on that. Have you seen the one who sees you? Has God shown himself to you in a manner that you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God and no one else? Who's your daddy? That is why she named the spring a well of the living one who sees me, to be located between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son. So Hagar follows, she goes back, she gives birth after the period of the 9 months, and she has Abram's firstborn son. And Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son Hagar had. Well, God had already told Hagar what the son's name was going to be. So when Abram said his name was going to be Ishmael, said, I knew that God was with her. The God who sees is working out a plan. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. So I want you to see that Abram's 86 now. A little further up in age. And we know that he made a decision to do something that he probably shouldn't have did. We know he shouldn't have did. And we're going to find out how treacherous that decision was. Not only in the fact that you have two women in the house, one pregnant and the one that's supposed to be pregnant is not. Reality update. But remember in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 4, Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, going into Canaan's land. He's in Canaan's land for 10 years. That would make it 86. Right, goes to Egypt, becomes out, and immediately has this affair, extramarital affair, or intramarital affair, however you want to call that, with Hagar. And the Bible tells us in 16th chapter, verse number 15, that Abram is now 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. I want you to see the progress of life that takes place. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him saying, I am God Almighty. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. 13 more years, this baby's grown up there in the house of Abram. And when we're getting covered is what I need you to see right now. In order for Sarai to have a child by Hagar, there was a process called surrogate motherhood. This is how it went down. When the child was born, and notice the Bible says, verse number 15 and 16 of 16 chapters, so Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to be the son of Hagar, and it was 86 years later when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. This is how it goes down. They go into a tent when it's time for birth. They're in there for a while. They're in the labor pains. Sarai sits down between Sarai's knees. Sarai's the one that's there. Between her knees, between her legs, sits the mistress, Hagar, the one that's pregnant. And between the mistress, Hagar, is the midwife that's going to deliver the baby. So it's in the process of time, after sitting on the knees and having the baby, once the baby is born and cleaned up, a little period of time goes forward, then it is Sarai who comes out of the tent with the baby as if she has now bore the child. Everyone knows that's just the custom, and they know that how it goes down. Although they know that Sarai was never pregnant, and they know that Hagar was pregnant. So this is how Sarai is able to have a son by Abram. But that was not God's plan. So in the 17th chapter, we see the covenant of circumcision brought into place. But when Abram was 99 years old, 13 years later, boys grown up to about 13 now, the Lord appeared to him saying, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be blameless. God appeared to him again and told him, listen, don't keep this up. Live without shame. Live without blame. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell face down and spoke with, and God spoke with him. As for me, my covenant is with you, and you will become the father of many nations. That's why you see everyone goes back to Father Abraham, even on this day. You'll be the father of many nations. But your name will be Abraham. For I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful, and I will make nations and kings come from you. I will keep my covenant between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generation. So even after you pass, those that come behind you, I will keep this covenant as an everlasting covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as an eternal possession, and I will be their God. God is now making a people through a family of Abraham. God also said to Abraham, because he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, he says, as for you, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations are to keep my covenant. This is my covenant, which you are to keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every one of your males must be circumcised. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskin to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Aaron was going to go through some intense pain because as an adult, not as a child, and as a man 99 years old, full of Viagra and full of vigor, vim and vigor, now you have to circumcise the foreskin, which is going to be a sign in the flesh of who those people are. This includes a slave born in your house and one purchased with him from any foreigner, the one who is not your offspring, the slave born in your house, as well as the one purchased with money, must be circumcised. So whoever you buy at the slave market has to be circumcised, no matter how old they are. Male children, my covenant will be marked in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. If any male is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that man will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. So God's changing Sarai to Sarah and Abram to Abraham. I will give you a son by her. She desired a son. The son that she concocted was not the son God gave. So I will give her a son. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. She's going to have more than one son. And nations are going to come from this son. Kings of people will come from her. Notice that it's plural. Kings of people. So I have many male children. Abram fell face down. Then he laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarai, a 99-year-old woman, give birth? So Abram said to God, if only Ishmael were acceptable to God, acceptable to you. Abram's laughing at God. Let me let you know something, folks. God has a sense of humor. But God also is a jealous God. You will never get the upper hand on God. And trust me, God will have the last laugh. Abraham cannot conceive in his finite mind that at 100 years old, how he's going to be able to birth a boy child, let alone kings, to a woman that's 99 years old, all dried up, and ain't even having menopause no longer. God says, I perform miracles, and I give children. Ishmael, if only Ishmael were acceptable to you. But God said, no. Your wife, Sarai, will bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. I will confirm my covenant with him, Isaac, not Ishmael, but Isaac, as an everlasting covenant for his future offspring. So Isaac himself are going to have offspring. And I will be with Isaac as I am with you. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I will make him a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant, not with Ishmael, but with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. So you're 99, and 1 year from now, you're laughing, but when it comes into play, I'll have the last laugh. When he finished talking with Abram, the starting end, God withdrew from Abraham. Then Abraham took his son Ishmael and all the slaves born in his house, or purchased with his money. Every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God had said to him. Now we see Abram being obedient. Now we see Abram believing in God. Abraham is now his name, and now he has to follow God accordingly. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. On this, that same day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his household, both slaves born in his house and those purchased with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. I'll leave you with this, and we'll pick up tomorrow in chapter 18. It's a tough thing to not do what you should do. And when you don't wait on the Lord, you will experience some pain. At 99 years old, Abraham had to cut the foreskin off of his male genitalia. And you know that was painful. But not only was that painful and great pain, bandage and whatever, he also had to have the strength on the same day to take every male child, including Ishmael, as well as those bought from the slave market or purchased in his house, and circumcise them on the same day. God is starting with Abraham on this day as a circumcision, which is a sign that separates God's people from the world. I want you to know that in today's society, even the devil is circumcising in the flesh. And so God now circumcises in the spirit. We'll talk about that later. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you. And as you're on your Abrahamic journey from Abram to Abraham, God has now changed him. God has now given him a new name. And God has now given him his direction in his ministry to move forward. You're going to have a son in 1 year. His name will be Isaac, which literally means laughter. And when Isaac comes aboard, you'll know that God, every time you look at that boy, you'll know that God has the last laugh. So Abram, exalted father, name has been changed to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Let's go to our, let's have a closing prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you for what it does in our life and how it strengthens us in our daily walk. We pray that as we take our daily journey and as God moves us from one state to another and moves us from an ain't to a saint and gives us that charge and revitalizes us even though we mess up, that he helps us in our daily walk. Father, we love you, we adore you, and we thank you. I thank you for everyone that's going to listen to this in Radio Land between now and forevermore. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen again. Let's go to our lines. Let's go. I see that looks like Big Joe's on. There you go.
What's up, bro?
Are you on, Big Joe? How you doing today?
I'm right. Let me turn this thing off. I'm good, man. Let me turn the speakerphone off. Yeah, man, I'm good, man. You there?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Did you get some anything come up?
Huh?
The lesson that we talked about today. Got any
thoughts
on that?
Make a lot of sense to me because, you know, it's like, yeah, you can be your own prisoner, man. And it really like opened my eyes to a lot of things, man. And I had to look back at some things, like as being my own prisoner, as me going through being my own prisoner. I definitely looked back and said, yes, I definitely was, you know. And moving forward and seeing this simple thing, this like I say, this is like you said just now a minute ago. This is not easy. This is a tough thing. It's not simple to like be the soldier, to be the upright soldier for the Lord with all the things that come at you in this world. It is not easy, you know, and you got to make the right, you got to make the right decisions before. If you don't, and I had a problem we was having a party this weekend, and Teresa's son showed up, and he's like homosexual. And like he started talking to his mother any old kind of way. And I'm just holding myself. I put my arm between him and Teresa, like, just hold on, Teresa. I'm not going to let this get any further. And, like, she wanted him to get out of the house. He came to get something to go. And I'm like, brother, you got to go, man. And so what he brought the devil, I mean, I jumped into the fire, man. When he was just, I lost it because I was going to be, like, more of security, like, just push you out the door. But he said the kids was there, and the kids was crying. They started crying. And I said, man, you can't do this, man. Don't do this in front of the kids. He said, F the kids, F Teresa, and F me. And, man, I lost it. Okay. But I felt so bad later, man. I said, I learned the lesson. I heard God saying to me, well, wait a minute, Joe, hold on. That's Teresa's son. The best thing you can do in the future is just go somewhere else and let her be one-on-one with her son. You know what I mean? I think that'll be the real. And I come a different way, and I apologize. I apologize. I ask God to forgive me and everything, because I didn't want that to happen. You know, we talk about the Cujo and the New Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. When you said F them kids, I couldn't handle it, Mike. I couldn't handle it, man.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hear them, but it got ugly. You know what I mean? And but one thing about this anger that came out of me, I repented. I got on my knees and said, please, Lord, please forgive me for what just happened. Please forgive me. You know, I don't want to be this. I don't want this to come out of me. I don't want to know this person no more. And that is relating to what you were saying with this lesson. It's imprisonment. You know what I mean? Yeah, you just opened my eyes so big, because I was thinking back on that when you was going, I kind of like drifted off the lesson. But when you said that word, and I started thinking, it was vision. The vision came in my head, brother. And I said, this is what Mike is talking about.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's a great lesson for me today.
Well, that's where our motto is. And the title and the theme for this radio show is Fighting the Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Because you can be incarcerated and not be behind iron bars. You can imprison your own self with your own attitudes and things. Now, the good thing that probably came out of your situation was Teresa saw that you would stand up for her. You know.
Yeah.
But then maybe how, depending on how far it went with her own child, maybe an issue there. So we just be prayer for the fact you went to God about it, you know, and these things will happen. But you just need to understand that how you do that with her, if you have carte blanche to deal with her son in that manner, then she's going to have the same carte blanche to deal with your son in that manner.
True that.
And so you have make sure that the two of you talk about this thing. And so, she will understand where you're at. I don't want to see him. I can't allow him to talk to you like that. That's my son. Yes, but you should have checked him. You didn't. Difficult for me because that's not where I come from. So we have to work through this. Because my job to lead this family is to be your protector, and I cannot let nobody, verbal abuse as well as physical abuse, come between you. You know, her harm or danger come your way. So she saw you stand up. She may not agree with the way it did, but the Bible says all things work together for them to love the Lord according to his purpose. So thankful for that, God.
Yeah, well, you know what, I was, you know, we I appreciate everything, brother, that you're saying. It done sunk in.
Yeah. It's a powerful lesson. Very powerful lesson, and we're going to see tomorrow. Hope you're able to get on tomorrow, because we're going to see tomorrow where God has to, where Abraham has to put his son Ishmael out of his house. And you can imagine what the pain of that's going to be to him. You know, and then later on down the road, around chapter 22, God's going to have Abraham sacrifice Isaac as a dress rehearsal for Calvary. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how all these things are to show Abraham how strong he is and how much his faith. Mm-hmm. Do you really believe in God? Are you really trusting and walking by God? If so, then you'll follow God to the letter. And that's what we deal with. That's what we extract from it now. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We're not in ignorance now. We just have to do it. I talked to Little Billy ago. I said, man, before you got on, you can go back and listen to it through Facebook Live. But I talked earlier, Joe, something I know you know, because both of us come from not only music band for over 30-some years, and you've got almost 60 years in yours, but also from just the blues community here in Chicago. And I've just been saying left and right, we've been losing so many figures here recently that we're seeing chapters in our heart, in our minds. And I had to deal, because every time I see these people's comments, they talk about, such and such is in jazz heaven. They're in blues heaven. They're in sports heaven. They're in movie heaven. And I just had to make it clear. There is no snap gate or there is no shortcut. There is heaven and then there's hell. And if you're not in the heaven where God will have it is, you know, just because you're making somebody feel good don't mean that you're really telling them the truth about the situation. And so we got to quit talking lies and helping people feel better. We need to encourage people. But sometimes the best encouragement is just not to say something, not say anything at all. And let God deal with the situation. Then you sit there and tell a lie. Oh, I know Big Mama's up there saying in that big angelic choir in blues heaven. Well, hold on now. You know, Big Mama was running the streets and doing everything she shouldn't do down here, living a cat ready life, and Papa was a Rolling Stone, and now all of a sudden because they die, they just get a straight ticket to heaven. They don't have to live right or do anything. So we have to be careful about that. There is no blues heaven. There is no jazz heaven.
That's too many heavens. You know, that's too many heavens. That's too many heavens.
We got the only heaven that I know the Bible speaks about, which is the eternal heaven, is the heaven that God is. Now, there's a man-made heaven that you can put them in a man-made heaven. That's just like, I gave the analogy of the Golden State Warriors. I'm a great basketball fan. I love the talent that's on there. I love the spirit. And so they won the championship again. And so they win the championship or the NBA championship. They have access. And so, are they in sports heaven now? No. Even though they may become one of the greatest teams in the Sports Hall of Fame and whatsoever else, there's still a Hall of Fame that's written in heaven that I'm going to get to.
Yeah.
If my name don't never, if I don't never get a Blues Candy Award, I want to make sure my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
The real heaven. The real heaven.
Yeah. If I don't never receive a Grammy Award, I want to make sure my name is written in heaven.
Yeah, because what comes out of your mouth, man, your tongue, you know, what comes off your tongue, and people don't realize it, and that's one of the main lessons that is in James or whatever that is. Like, you got to watch what comes off your tongue.
Yes.
Especially when you're proclaiming God and saying, God, I'm with God. And then, you know, something else come off your tongue. It ain't about God. You know, and like learning. So, like I say, this ain't easy. This is tough. You know what I mean? But you can be God is gonna guide you, but you gotta stay focused, I guess, and like realize this is. I think right now, Michael. I think I'm in. Like I said, ain't no blues, there ain't no jazz, but I think I'm in the Lord's boot camp.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. I think I'm in the Lord's boot camp.
Boot camp is training, and we're all being trained. You know, that's what a disciple is. That's when we're privates in God's boot camp. Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. And we must, every day is something new with this, the way the Lord brings you. And like the chastening of the Lord, oh my God, yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. You know, don't go like our mama said, go give me a switch. And don't come in here with no small one. You know?
That's right.
You know, because this is real.
That's right.
And this is the real, I mean, Teresa's mother being the pastor that she is, the way she didn't see the incident at any time, but she was there and she just said a great prayer, man, when I was cooking. She said, Joseph, it's wonderful what you're doing. She went deep. She went deep, holding her hands in the air, saying, hallelujah, God. And I love her. I love her for that, man, because that woman let me know she's the closest thing that I didn't got to my mother since my mother been gone. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know and she's
back. We need to try to figure this thing out and get y'all legal in the eyesight of God so that God can bless you even more.
Yes, right. That's what we try because we think.
Yeah.
I said we done fought. I said, look, I told her a while ago. I said, hey, check it out. Let's do it like the LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Warriors did. Satan 99, Teresa and Joseph 0. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We got to change that. Okay.
That's right.
I think I'm blessed, man, to have a woman that does understand God, and that's a rarity, you know. And like I appreciate you and your wife. You and your wife are just amazing, which is a great example for me and Teresa, man, to get this together, you know. So, on my way, on my journey.
You're doing well, Doc. And I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't think it was so.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate everything. I appreciate everything, Mike.
Let's we'll be back
all right.
Tomorrow.
I know you got
to move. We're going to Radio Land. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 for Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Y'all have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon. God bless in the name of the Lord.
God bless. Ooh.